The human eye can detect a million colours. And because we have two of them, we also have depth perception. Our eyelids protect our eyes, blinking tears across our eyeballs, helping them to keep clean and moist. Our eyes do various things that tell people how we feel. They've been called the windows to the soul. Our pupils dilate when we're excited, constrict when we don't like something. On today's show, we'll learn how to look after our eyes. Go Healthy for Good begins now. And welcome to Go Healthy for Good. I'm Dr. Nerida, and it's a wonderful day to be healthy. Go Healthy for Good is live every Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. We want to interact with you, our Go Healthy community, so like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Go Healthy Live, and visit our website at hopetv.org/gohealthy. Today is all about the eye. It's vital for us to know how to preserve our sight and what health issues may present a threat to vision. I have two guests with me today who will be sharing their expertise on high health. But first, let's look at how we can take better care of our eyes.
Excuse me, hi, your eyes here. You know those two little windows, the ones that connect you to the world in so many ways? Your way to enjoy beauty, to use the talents you have, to take part in every aspect of your life. But for all that, what do I get? Don't get me wrong, I'm not angry. I know you love me. I just wish you'd do a better job of showing it. I mean, you clearly know how to care. You can be really good at it, especially when something starts acting up. But that's not enough. I might seem fine, but you need to check me before problems begin. If you wait, it might be too late, and you could lose these. So let me, as usual, show you what to do. I'll start by clearing up a few common myths, like the idea that if I can see, I must be healthy, or that if you can't notice a problem, you don't need an eye exam, or that the only reason to visit an eye doctor is for vision correction. All false. You want the facts? Doctors estimate that roughly 80% of vision loss is preventable if you maintain good eye health habits, like stopping smoking, wearing sunglasses, giving me a bath from time to time. And most importantly, if you get regular eye exams, it's easy to find a bunch of great eye care professionals, so why not look one up? They can identify problems, even potential ones, so you can do something about it. Not just vision problems, other problems, like heart disease, diabetes, stroke risk. All of those can be seen early just from an eye exam. In other words, I'm a window into your overall health.
Joining me here in the studio is David Pollack, optician at Eyeglasses at Four Corners here in Silver Spring, Maryland. While being knowledgeable in baseball, his main expertise is in optics. Dr. Ng and David, welcome to Go Healthy for Good.
Thank you, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
David, let's turn that question to you. How important is it to have regular eye checkups?
Well, if you're over 40, I'd say at least once a year. If you're a kid, you should do it at school. But the proper screening test is favorable. Most schools don't do, in my opinion, the proper testing. As you saw in the animated intro, they had the eye chart. That'll tell you if you could see at 20 feet clearly. But in today's society, everything is up close. iPhones, iPads, computers. So the eye was designed to see at 20 feet, hence 20/20. But we're not doing that today. It's closer to like arm's length. So if you're a kid or an adult on the computer, you're putting strain on your eye. So yeah, you should go for an eye exam. At least a kid should be picked up at school, an adult 40, at least once a year.
So tell me, for parents, when should they bring their child for an eye? What age would be a good starting point? Or how could you even tell if children have a sight problem?
In my experience, the school will tell the parent. And we follow it up.
So after school age, that would be when those problems might be detected?
Yeah, if your child's not reading, that's a tip-off. If the kid is not sitting and looking at a book or is looking at in the distance, there might be a problem of close-up. He's farsighted if he's looking in the distance. He can't see close-up. The nearsighted kid can see close, can't see far.
How might you tell that? Because that's more off. Oh, okay. So grades might not be good because they can't see the chalkboard or the.
Well, they usually can see the chalkboard. They can't see here, and the school's test for people who are myopic, not hyperopic or close up. That's the problem, in my opinion.
Right. Now there are different eye care providers. There are opticians, such as yourself,
right.
Optometrists, and ophthalmologists.
Correct.
And people may be, our viewers may be confused about who they should go to for what.
So good question.
Walk us through that.
Okay. The ophthalmologist is the MD. I have a niece that's an optometrist and her husband's an ophthalmologist.
So you've got it all in the family.
Right. Robert is an ophthalmologist. He deals with pathological problems of the eye. If your eye is sick, if you will. And needs an MD's attention. An MD can refract, can give you a prescription for glasses. An optometrist, that's what they do. That's what they're trained to do in the 4 years in college. Refract, look for problems that they might refer the patient to an ophthalmologist for. And that's important. In my business, that's the most important, the optometrist. If you have a cataract, glaucoma, keratoconus, macular degeneration, detached retina, ophthalmologist. You're having trouble seeing the blackboard, you're having trouble reading the book, the iPad, the iPhone, optometrist. And I'm the optician, I'm the druggist, I fill the prescription. I'll tell you what frame works well for you, what kind of lenses, what you should get, what you shouldn't get, it's overkill, etc. That's what I do.
So we sort of bring our prescription to you and then...
If you bring your prescription to me, I'll fill it. The best I can.
But you don't write prescriptions.
I do not write prescriptions.
Thank you. Now, we saw a little reference in that video to smoking. What does smoking do to our eyes?
Well, I'm not an optometrist and ophthalmologist. However, in my experience, it seems to me that the nicotine might cause increased pressure of the anterior chamber of the eye, which might bring on glaucoma. And that's why some substances are now prescribed to reduce the interocular pressure of the anterior chamber, which people smoke.
All right. And then also we see smokers sometimes have quite red eyes.
Well, yeah.
So I guess the smoke.
That would irritate the eye. That's why on that animated video it showed washing the eye, cleaning it, rinsing it out with some solution. It can't hurt. Yeah.
Especially for a smoker, you might say, or someone who works around...
Oh, yeah, dust. That's why goggles are great. You know, if you're a carpenter or a machinist, you're working around dust or flakes, you should cover your eyes. People take eyes for granted. It's terrible. It's terrible. In today's society, everybody's worried about kind of phone they carry, but nobody could really see it clearly, so they push it back and forth. It's really sad.
Now, tell us, what do you have for someone who might be becoming... long-sighted as they get older. What can you offer them? I know that they might see the optometrist for the prescription, but what would they be offered at?
Well, if you're not a contact lens wearer, then it would be glasses. Now, there's a lot of these pre-made readers you can buy in the drugstore, but they only correct the same amount of magnification in each eye. So if you buy a pair of 150s, you're assuming both eyes need 150. They do not correct an astigmatism, which most people have.
Now tell us, what's astigmatism?
An astigmatism is something in the eye where the light that enters the eye has to be moved right or left, or that's the cylindrical portion of your prescription. The spherical portion, which magnifies or minifies, takes the light ray and directs it shorter or longer to hit a pinhole on your retina, the macula, the fovea. So it's a compound prescription. An astigmatism will move the light one way, and a spherical correction would move the light another way. So people don't take into consideration the eye health. They see better putting on a magnification, like a +2, And that might work in a restaurant for a menu or to see a playbill, but not to read War and Peace.
So for those long periods of reading,
you really want the right prescription. You don't want someone else prescribing, and you're assuming both eyes need the same amount of correction, which in most cases it doesn't.
Thank you. Well, today we're talking about eye health, and we have some knowledgeable guests with us who will share more tips on eye care. Coming up next, I'll join Justin in the kitchen with a simple recipe that will whet your palate. So don't move, we'll be right back.
The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
In our current series on Hope Sabbath School, we're looking at the big picture of Scripture. Growing in Christ and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We'll be looking from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the big story of God's good plan for each one of our lives. We hope you'll join us for Hope Sabbath School and see what God can do to bless your life.
Back. Here I am in the kitchen with Justin and ready for today's recipe. I love this part of the show and hopefully you do too. So yes. Justin, what have you got on the menu for us?
Well, today I'm going to share with you one of the things that I like to make sometimes. It's a sandwich, but it has some really delicious ingredients in it. I call it Justin's Soindwich.
Justin's Soindwich.
Soindwich.
Well,
yes.
well. What would Lord Sandwich say about that?
He would probably be rolling over in his grave.
Well, there you go.
Okay. So in my Soindwich, it's just a couple of pieces of bread, two slices of firm tofu, some romaine lettuce, some vegenaise, some mustard if you want it, half an avocado sliced, and a slice of onion.
Ooh, an onion. Your bachelor habits, dear me.
Raw onion.
Okay.
So this is, I mean, I'm assuming everybody out there knows how to make a sandwich. The thing about this sandwich is instead of doing some sort of meat or some sort of cheese or something, we're going to use a couple slices of tofu. Now, people say, oh, tofu. You know what tofu is?
It's just
like one of your high class, subtly flavored soft cheeses.
That's the way to think of it. I like it.
You put it in a sandwich, and it's just this luxurious mouthfeel. It has this, it lends this texture to the sandwich that's just really delicious.
Well, I'm looking forward to trying it.
So, let's get started.
So what order do we do this in?
Well, usually I like to take the bread.
Yeah.
And then put things onto the bread. I'm going to demonstrate that.
Oh,
now.
Really? So you do an open sandwich? Rather than a closed sandwich.
I'm going to make a closed sandwich.
Sandwich, okay.
But I generally tend to like to assemble it before I, close it.
Right.
So use as much or little.
So you use vegenaise instead of as a bread spread?
I do. Actually, before I discovered vegenaise, I used, mayonnaise and whatnot.
Yeah.
When I discovered vegenaise, I actually like it better. I mean, I'd probably use it even if it wasn't so much better than mayonnaise.
You know, there are some parts of the world that don't get vegenaise, so I'm going to put a soy mayonnaise recipe on this week on Thursday night.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and
that's
then you
great.
Can tell us which you prefer.
Okay, great. So I'm just going to take these lovely slices of tofu here and lay them lovingly. I'm going to lay them lovingly.
Yes. Okay, that's Justin laying it on lovingly.
That's right. Lay it lovingly on.
This is what I love to lay on. Avocado.
Throw away the bread. Throw away the tofu. Just make your sandwich entirely out of avocado.
Out of avocado, yes.
I would be just fine with that. Okay. And a little bit of...
Just a little bit.
Just a little onion.
A little onion.
And I actually like a lot of lettuce on my sandwich. You know,
it adds
sometimes
the moisture,
I exactly,
it?
Yeah. Sometimes I stack it an inch high, just lettuce.
Really?
I really like lettuce.
Don't dislocate your jaw that way.
Well, I've got kind of a big mouth. People have told me that before.
Well, you come from Texas.
Yeah, well. So what I do is I just stack them together like this, rip them in half, and then...
Four layers. Whoa.
Done and done.
That looks good enough for a game.
That, Dr. Nerida, is a sandwich.
That is a soindwich.
That is a soindwich. Justin's soindwich.
Justin's soindwich. Well, that's quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do we attack it?
Well, I usually like to put it in my mouth and then chew.
Really?
Yeah. But I suppose...
I might just try to cut it.
Let's see if
Let's see
works.
If we can, hey?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Are we ready?
Little bite size.
Yeah. I might give you that that piece there.
Okay. The one with onion in it?
That's the one.
Mm. Ding.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheese. No, tofu.
Tofu.
Mm.
Isn't that a great sandwich?
That is a great sandwich.
I fear I've bitten off more than I can chew.
I'm going to keep that recipe. Well, thank you so much. That is so delicious. I won't take more than I can chew right now. Now, let's watch a quick video on how our eyes allow us to see.
Sight, a precious gift we can't take for granted. Our eyes are windows to the wonders of the world. All we know and love, experience and discover, ponder and cherish. Let's peer into the workings of the eye, a unique and self-sustaining system. The reflected light of the world enters through the crystal transparency of the cornea. Aqueous humor, lens, and vitreous humor to project onto the photoreceptors of the retina, whose impulses converge on the optic nerve and then to the brain to be transfigured into imagery and imbued with meaning. Continual adjustments to the pupil and lens regulate the entry and focusing of light. In today's world, the eye's surface is constantly challenged to protect itself and adjust to changing conditions. Every blink helps our eye's natural defense system, the tear film, retain moisture and maintain visual acuity. Tears contain potent natural disinfectants to keep bacteria at bay. And the tear system washes away impurities to maintain eye health. The miraculous biology of our eyes inspires us to develop ways we can protect and maintain comfort for these remarkable structures. For all the wonders our eyes provide throughout our lives, we owe them our attention and ongoing care.
Wow. Our eyes are so special, and we really need to care for them. Now, I have Dr. Ng with me, I believe, on the phone. Dr. Ng, are you able to hear us now?
Yes, I'm able to hear you through the phone.
Lovely.
Now, over Skype, signal is
now our
is
eyes.
Too distorted.
Our eyes are integral to our well-being, yet we don't give them the attention they really deserve. Who should undergo regular visits, and how often should people see their ophthalmologist?
When a person gets to be 40 years of age, we encourage them to see the ophthalmologist about once a year. One of the concerns that we have is possibility of glaucoma. Glaucoma usually occurs after age 40, and so we need to get the intraocular pressure checked. The other thing that we also find out is that people at 40 start to have problems with reading, and it's called presbyopia. And that's when they usually start getting reading glasses, library glasses, or sewing glasses. They're basically just magnifiers, which enable the people to see the smaller print, which their eye is not able to see because the lens, the human lens, becomes a little bit stiffer. Medical term uses sclerotic, so it can't adjust like it could when people were much younger.
Thank you. Now, we have an epidemic of diabetes in this country, which is associated with several complications of the eye. Can you tell us what some of those problems are and just explain them for our viewers?
Okay. You're very right, the problem with diabetes, but that's also related to the problem that Americans have with their sedentary lifestyle and eating too much, which means you end up being overweight.
So what does this do to the eye?
As far as the changes in the eye, sometimes a person with diabetes, I mean, who doesn't yet recognize they have diabetes, they may have a prescription for their glasses, and they, say like a month or two after they've had the prescription, they suddenly find that they cannot see clearly with their glasses. So if a person comes back to me or comes to me with that complaint, I'll ask them, do you have diabetes, or do you have family members who have diabetes? Because if the blood sugars are high, like 200, 300 and so on, which is common in a person who is not diagnosed with diabetes, they're refractive power in their eye changes, and so their vision gets blurred. You can clear it up by giving them a new refraction, but if after their diagnosis of diabetes is made and their blood
return to normal, then the new pair of glasses that you gave them when their blood sugars were high will no longer be clear. So it's best to wait till the person's blood sugars come down to normal and then prescribe what power a person needs for their glasses to see well.
And they can also get diabetic retinopathy, where there are changes in the retina of the eye, and they are more prone to cataracts and other problems in the eye, are they not?
That is absolutely true. More prone to cataracts, more prone to glaucoma. But again, if the diabetes is well controlled, then their risk for developing diabetic retinopathy dramatically decreases, and also their risk for getting cataracts will probably diminish as well.
Thank you. David, we saw in one of those clips sunglasses. How important are sunglasses to preserving eye health?
Well, most people think that sunglasses help the eye. They do. If, in my opinion, they're polarized. Most sunglasses are a simple piece of plastic dipped in a dye, like you dye your socks. They really don't do anything. Actually, they hurt the eye because behind a dark surface, your iris is open, and it's seeking more light. And the ultraviolet light from the sun will go in there and bombard the crystalline lens, which could actually speed up a cataract's progression. Polarized lenses, on the other hand, only allow light in on the 180-degree axis, straight in. And it does a lot of filtering out of the UVA and UVB harmful rays from the sun. So if you buy a pair of sunglasses and you see them on the turnpike, $3 for $20, okay. But if you want to protect your eye, the closer you live to the equator, the more direct sunlight you get, polarized lens is the answer. You can get an inexpensive pair of polarized lenses, non-prescription, but if you're going to get glasses and you have a prescription, I strongly urge polarized lenses. Some of the lenses that change color, the photochromatic lenses, they're not sunglasses, and they don't use the word sunglasses in their advertisements.
All right. Dr. Ng, we hear a lot of advertisements for refractive surgery. Tell us what can be done surgically for refractive problems.
Well, probably the most common refractive problem here in the U.S., other than what we call presbyopia, which is when people get to be age 40 and need reading glasses, is probably myopia or short-sightedness. And for refractive surgery at the current time, there's an operation called the LASIK, and that's spelled L-A-S-I-K, and this is where the ophthalmologist makes a little flap, and then they treat underneath the flap with a laser to reshape the cornea, and they put the flap of the epithelium back on over the area where they've treated, and the patient can see much, much better and much faster than in the past. They've had various modifications and changes to the various types of refractive surgery through the years, but this is one of the techniques that is used most commonly at the present time, and it is very successful. It's useful for people who have moderate, you know, mild to moderate degrees of astigmatism, and it works very, very well.
Excellent. And is the price of that coming down now, or is it still just as expensive?
It varies. You know, it depends where you go, and the centers where there's a large volume, their prices may be less.
But, thank you.
You know, it varies with where you go and who's doing it and so on.
Thank you. Coming up next, I'll join Sean on the mat for the most active part of our show. But first, let's take a look at today's medical news report. In the headlines today, check up on checkups, eating sugar eats up protein, eat those greens, and oranges prevent glaucoma? Vision impairment is an important public health concern, so a survey was done to see if people are going for their eye exams and if the diseases they thought they'd been screened for were noted in their medical records. Four common eye diseases were evaluated: glaucoma, macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, and cataracts. Most people thought they were having adequate eye care, but in fact, only glaucoma screening met expectations. So be sure to have a thorough assessment when you attend for your next eye appointment. Population studies have shown that diets with high glycemic index foods are associated with increased risk for age-related diseases such as cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, cataracts, and age-related macular degeneration. At the Laboratory for Nutrition and Vision Research at Tufts University in Boston, the mechanism for this link has been studied. High glucose levels are thought to trigger the breakdown of intracellular components with subsequent accumulation of toxic protein byproducts. So to maintain good eye health and slow aging, limit your intake of simple sugars. Long-term dietary intake of antioxidants has been found to be associated with fewer cataracts. Published in the British Journal of Nutrition came a study showing that, in fact, the higher the levels of antioxidants lutein and zeaxanthin, the less the age-related nuclear cataracts in the elderly. Another study in the American Journal of Ophthalmology shows that supplements of those same antioxidants improves age-related macular degeneration. Want to know where to get those nutrients? Then try dark green veggies like kale, spinach, collard greens, romaine lettuce, broccoli, peas, zucchini, and also corn and eggs. A study was done looking at the diets of older American African women, those who ate three or more servings per day of fruit or fruit juice, including oranges and peaches, were 90% less likely to have glaucoma than women who ate less than one serving per day. For veggies such as collard greens and kale, less than one serving per week compared to less than one serving a month reduced the odds of glaucoma by almost 60%. I must say, fruit is a wonderful way to eat your medicine. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's medical news report.
The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs.
Is social media invading your family life?
Next time on Family Talk, we'll talk about how to stay socially connected and have your dinner too. Join us.
Welcome back to Go Healthy for Good. Here I am, and I hope you're ready to do some moves with Sean, our trainer. What have you got for us?
All right, let's start with a little bit of a warm up.
Yeah,
let's
I like warm up.
Some jumping jacks before we play with the toys.
Yeah, more toys today.
There you go. Let's do 10 jumping jacks. You do regular jumping jacks. I'm gonna do seal jacks where the hands are here.
All right.
So we're gonna go in 3, 2, and 1. Go. 1. The benefit for mine that I'm doing is just working the back just a little bit more. I lost count, all right? And
6.
There you go.
8, 9, 10.
All right, again, preparing the body for movement, all right? Let's pick the knees up a little bit. Alternating. Chest up. What I want you to do here is turn your leg to the side just a little bit. And again, alternate. Chest up. Get the balance. Perfect. Shake it out. All right, the first exercise we're going to do is with a medicine ball. All right. Have you heard of people say, I've reached a plateau?
Yeah.
Well, we're breaking those plateaus.
Oh,
wait.
Right? Okay.
So, a plateau is when you were exercised at a certain intensity for a long period of time, and your body just says, I know what you're going to do next, and no change. It doesn't stimulate any change. All right, so instead of doing like regular
exercise. So that's why you give us a lot of variety, right?
Exactly. So the variety helps break those plateaus, right? Change up the intensity, yeah. The pace, the time. So what you're going to do is come here and kick out, all right? We're not going to add a push-up, all right? But back here, stand up. Back down. Kick out and back up here. Okay.
He's trying to make it sound good that he's not giving us the push-up, you see, that he's really kind.
Yet.
Is not that kind.
Yet.
Oh, yet.
Yes. There you go.
Now he's got me worried.
All right, so come on. Let me give you, you turn to the side here. There you go. And I'll give you the cues at what to watch out for. Now, hold the ball like that.
Okay.
There you go. Nice tight grip. All right.
All right.
And make sure your shoulder is right over the ball. Right?
Okay.
Creating that 90 degree angle. And then you kick out, stabilize, and from your shoulder all the way to your ankle is nice and straight. All right, so bring your hips down just a little bit more, engage your core. All right, then you kick your legs back in, stand up.
Oh,
with the ball.
With the ball.
There you go. All right, now give me 3 more. Go ahead. Paying close attention to form. Perfect. Perfect. Give me 2 more. Kick out. Yes, 1 more. Now, we didn't add the push-up in there, but I'm gonna put Dr. Narada on the spot. Just go down just a little bit and pop up, back up. Yes, there you go. Just adding a little bit more variety to that one exercise, all right? So you hold on to that.
All right.
We're gonna do a lunge, but 3 different angles. A 12 o'clock, a 1:30, and a 3 o'clock, all right?
All right.
Stimulating 3 different, all right, pieces of the muscle, your quadricep, all right?
All right.
So we're gonna go forward. All right, right here, 45 degree. And a lateral lunge, make sure your toes point forward. Here, okay, let's do it again on here. Again, right leg, 45 degree. Lateral, and let's do the other side. Left leg, there you go. It's a little odd, right?
It feels really strange. We might move along.
There you go,
as we run
go ahead.
It. Yep.
Perfect. So you got your 45, and then I'll do my lateral, okay? Again, working the quadricep, 3 different angles. Normally, you're used to doing a lunge going forward, but again, we're talking about breaking plateaus. Your body may not be used to going at a 45 degree or used to going at a lateral, right?
Right.
Lateral direction. All right, so one more time. Forward, keeping the chest up, 45 degree, and then your lateral. Pointing the toe forward, making sure this leg is nice and straight, and coming back up again. All right?
Excellent.
Shake it off. What we're going to do now, you hold on to that still.
All right.
We're going to go down to sumo squat where your toes are pointing outwards. Okay?
Okay.
So as you come out, come back in, press up. All right? Same thing you could do with the medicine ball. All right? Hold on to it. Go all the way down, bicep curl. And press up. All right?
Okay.
All right, so perfect. Feet nice and wide. Let's go down together. All right, go down. Bicep curl and up. Great exercise to work the lower region and the upper region. All right, making sure to breathe, when you get to the top. Let's do three more. Now, the thing about working out is you don't want to get bored with it.
Right.
So doing combination exercises like this, one more, is a great way to work two different regions of the body and maximize the time while you can.
Right.
All right? And last but not least,
one more. It keeps your brain engaged too, doesn't it?
There you go. Absolutely.
You have to think about what you're doing.
You do.
It keeps
you can't do the same thing over and over again. Your body just, it acclimates, and that's how you reach those plateaus. Mm. Last but not least, let's take that ball, hold here, and we're going to work the delt, all right? Everybody loves the delt, right? So we're going to come straight up. When you get to the top, I want you to blow out. Come back in and blow up. Perfect, all the way down. You could do these for about 10 to 15 reps. The deltoid muscle is a small muscle. It's a shoulder cap. So it doesn't take much for it to start burning. So you get to about 8, 9, 10, and you start going, make funny faces, all right? Give me three more. One, two, last one. And when you get to the top, I want you to hold it just a little bit. Keep it there. Keep it there. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Now, you know I like to, come on, no. Come on, keep it out here. So what's happening? You know I like to torture a little bit, right? Come on, you can do it, Come on, give me one more. All the way down.
Now you're gonna talk quick.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, but again, the deltoid is a...
Let me just whack you a deltoid for you.
The deltoid is a small muscle. So again, when you get to the top here, you wanna be able to squeeze that shoulder. Yes, squeeze it and get the benefit. I mean, there's no point in you just working out and just doing it just to do it.
Yeah.
Do it and think about the muscle region. You're here, you're working on that V of your delt, and you're coming back down, all right? Remember, work out with a purpose. Don't just work out just to work out.
I like that.
Do it with a purpose. And let's cool down. You know, I love my favorite. Take a nice deep breath. And let's go down. Let's go forward. Great exercise to stretch out your calf. Make sure that heel is all the way down. I'll turn to the side. Make sure that heel is all the way down. If you want a deeper stretch in your calf, you can go back a little bit more, but you gotta make sure that that heel goes all the way down and stretch. Okay? And then take a nice deep breath while you're down here and walk your feet to your hands. Come nice and slow. And shake it out.
Nice. Do we get to stretch our delta?
You want to stretch your delt?
Yeah.
Let's go. Right arm here.
All right.
Now there's several.
He doesn't need to stretch his delt because he was just, you know, standing
I was supervising.
There.
Supervising takes a lot of energy.
Oh, supervising.
It does.
Okay.
It does. I read it in a book. All right, switch.
Whereas I work my deltoid, so, and you do too, because I know you did it right along with me.
Absolutely. I hope so. All right, shake it out. Another great exercise, you can just put this arm back here, stretch out your tricep just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And switch sides. Make sure you breathe while you're doing these exercises. The last thing you want to do is hold that in and keep, you want to blow the carbon dioxide out, relax the body.
And you relax when you're stretching.
Do. There you go. Yeah. Get the benefit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
That was great. Looking forward to some partner exercises next time.
Yes, I'm ready.
Coming up, I'm looking forward to answering your Facebook and text questions. I love hearing from you and finding out what's on your mind. But first, let's check out another Ageless Advantage.
Our cells love antioxidants. Antioxidants protect our cells against damage. An excellent source of antioxidants are fruits and vegetables. Fruits and veggies are high in vitamins A, C, and E, all great antioxidants. A 2011 Korean study found that vegetarians consumed approximately 2 times more antioxidant vitamins than their meat-eating counterparts. An antioxidant-rich vegetarian diet is another ageless advantage.
Now, you can go to our website, that's hopetv.org/gohealthy. There you'll find all the shows, all the recipes that we've done on previous shows. That's hopetv.org/gohealthy. Also, don't forget to call us live now. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY, that's 855-400-4325, or text us at 301-960-5144. We have that great offer still for our callers. If you call us now during our live broadcast with a question related to eye health, will send you this beautiful book free. Remember, it's just gorgeous, full of pictures, full of really good health information. So this is restricted to our viewers of our live show only. Now, I want to thank you for posting your comments and questions on Facebook. And here are some questions that we didn't have a chance to answer on our previous shows. Ditto sent a text message. What's the difference between obesity and overweight? Well, that's a really good question. Basically, you have to convert your weight and your height into metric measures. So, and then you take your weight, divide it by your height, divide it by your height again. That's kilograms divided by meters and meters, and you'll come up with a number. Somewhere around 20 to 25 is normal, 25 to 30 is overweight, and over 30 is obese. If it's over 40, it's what we call morbid obesity. In other words, it threatens your life. Good question. Marilyn called and asked, I have a Vitamix. Can I use that instead of juicing, and will I get the same results? Marilyn, great question. And yes, blending your food up and making a smoothie, a green smoothie or a fruit smoothie, is just as good. In fact, it's almost better because you get all the fiber. But it does mean that you can't get as much into your tummy as you can with juicing, because juicing you'd get more carrots and more of those veggies in. So they each have but with the Vitamix you get more of the fiber. So they each have their advantages and their disadvantages. Sheila called and asked, what recommendations do you have to help me become less stressful? I think, Sheila, you probably mean less stressed. I'm stressful to be around. But to be less stressed, you know, breathing is a really important thing that can just help. It may seem really simple, but if when you're stressed, you take some deep breaths and just breathe, you breathe in through your nose, and you can breathe out through your mouth or through your nose, but breathing in through your nose will really slow it down. And if you can slow your breathing down to just breathing in slowly for about 10 seconds, in and out for 10, so breathe in for 5, out for 5, little pause, in for 5, out for 5, you'll only be breathing 6 times in a minute, and that is going to just really relax you. You try it. You can try that too if you don't sleep well at night and you're lying in bed, tossing and turning. That's a great one. Well, thank you for sending me your questions. Keep sending them. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. And coming up, we'll be taking your questions live. And I have two experts here to take those questions on eye health. But first, let's take a look at cataracts and how they affect our vision.
In the case of a cataract, the crystalline lens loses its transparency. The crystalline lens is this small lens behind the pupil that converges the photons on the retina and that enables the eye to focus. If the crystalline lens becomes uniformly opaque, it will let fewer photons pass through, and vision will progressively blur, with possible alteration of color vision. If only a part of the crystalline lens becomes opaque, light sources can become bothersome, especially during the night, affecting such activities like driving. If only the central nucleus becomes opaque, double vision in the affected eye can occur. Cataract treatments always involve surgical intervention with the goal of replacing the crystalline lens. In the majority of cases, the surgical team will proceed in the following manner. At the beginning of the procedure, the eye is filled with a viscoelastic product that will protect the eye tissues, notably the cornea. The surgeon will then be able to remove the anterior crystalline lens envelope by completing what is called a capsular rexus. Using ultrasonic phacoemulsification, The surgeon will then pulverize and aspirate the interior contents of the crystalline lens while leaving the posterior envelope intact. He will then place an intraocular lens whose convergence power will be calculated by echography and whose loops will provide stability.
Wow, isn't that amazing to watch the...
Yes.
I know it's an animation, but to see it in real life is...
Unbelievable.
Just, it is. It's wonderful what we can do now for cataracts. Now, David, I saw a piece of research recently that said that children have less myopia or short-sightedness if they have more outdoor play. What's going on there?
They're not sitting in front of the computer. They're not playing computer games, handheld games. They're out having fun. They're out playing. You get somebody that does too much of anything, it's no good. A lot of these children today just sit by the computer and they vegetate.
And it's they're more likely to end up with wearing glasses.
Sure, they're asking their eye to focus at 14 to 22 inches rather than 20 feet, which is 20/20.
Right. So it's to do with our development and...
Yeah, well, in a few years, I'd say in the next two generations from now, normal eyesight will be 15/15. It's going to go down 5 feet
really?
To see something this big on the Snellen eye chart. That's my opinion.
Wow. Dr. Ng, what are some of the foods that we should eat to maintain good eye health?
I think the more fruits and vegetables you eat, those would be good for the eyes. You know, fruits, vegetables have lots of vitamins and minerals, whole grains as well. Those are the things that you want. Foods that are rich in antioxidants and, you know, fruits and vegetables are really good. You want the ones that have more color, like the greens from bell peppers, but not your chili peppers, because chili peppers are irritating. And, you know, like the blues that you have and blueberries and things that you have in strawberries, those are all good for you.
Oh, I love that kind of medicine. Now, David, we were talking about computers. Now, I understand when we sit in front of a computer screen, we tend not to blink as much. What tips can you give us for good eye health if we're using computers or television a lot?
If you're an eyeglass wearer for distance vision and you're looking at something that's arm's length away, you're going to need a different prescription. If you're a presbyope and you're wearing...
reading glasses.
Bifocals or progressive lenses, the correction for reading needs to be half of what it is. So if you have a 2-ad on your progressive or your bifocal, you need a 1-ad for the computer. So if you're myopic and you don't have a presbyopic condition, an old pair of glasses, something 3 or 4 or 5 years old with a weaker prescription might work much better for you in front of the computer than what you're presently wearing.
And do we need to think about blinking more often and having breaks away from the screen for the sake of our eyes?
Yeah. I get a lot of people that sit in front of a computer all day, and they do make a lens that doesn't have distance vision in it, only has a lens that 10 feet above, 10 feet and in on the top of the lens, computer in the middle of the lens, and reading on the bottom of the lens. So you have no distance vision. It's called an RD, a room distance. Someone who's a doctor or a dentist, someone that's in a banker, someone that's in a cubicle all day or in the confined area, you don't need your distance glasses there if you're a presbyope. But your blinking just washes everything away and stops dry eye. So it's a big change. Just as much as computers had on society, it's had on your eyes.
Thank you. Now, Dr. Ng, children can be born with strabismus or... you know, where their eyes look in different directions, or even they can have a lazy eye. What can be done for those disorders?
Well, the first thing that needs to be done is they need to be examined by an ophthalmologist. Sometimes strabismus, or where the eyes are pointing in different directions, may be caused by what we call a refractive error, and merely giving them a pair of glasses. This is much more common in a person who is hyperopic or farsighted, and the medical condition we say they have is accommodative esotropia. That is, if they're looking at something, then their, which is up close, their eyes tend to come in and they turn and they cross. And if that's what they have, giving them correct glasses for distance would take care of the problem. That works very well. So they need a thorough refraction, what we call a cycloplegic refraction, where this paralyzes the muscles of accommodation in the eye, some of the drops that we put in, so that we can get an idea of what the true refraction is or what the true power of glasses that that patient needs.
Thank you very much. Now, friends, remember we have an awesome offer for our callers. If you call us now during our live broadcast, share with us your questions about eye health. For my experts here, we'll send you a copy of Celebrations, a beautiful pictorial celebration of life, health, and vitality. It's free. Remember, this only applies to viewers of our live show. Don't miss this great gift. So go and grab your phone, call us now. We'll send you a copy free. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Go healthy for good. We'll be back after a short break, so stay there.
Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
When I was 8 years old, I almost drowned in a swimming pool. Fortunately, a strong swimmer dove in and rescued me. This week on Hope Sabbath School, we want to talk about a rescue that's far more significant than one child from a swimming pool. God's plan to rescue the human race, to save all who are willing to be saved. We hope you'll join us.
Back to Go Healthy for Good. We're taking more of your health questions, especially ones related to eye health. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. And remember, we have a wonderful book as a gift for our callers today. Now, I have a caller on the line, Nestor from San Diego. Nestor, welcome to Go Healthy for Good. What's your question for us tonight?
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your question, Nestor?
My question is, the last time I went to my ophthalmologist, he told me that my cataract is slowly progressing. And he told me to take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C to slow it down. And that is my question, if it does help me.
Let's throw that one to Dr. Ng. Dr. Ng, what do you think about taking 1 gram of vitamin C per day to slow cataract progression?
Yes, it works.
Wonderful, but I don't know of enough conclusive evidence that that's something that's going to work consistently. Now, I would say, again, eat your plant-based diet, lots of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. I'm not aware that taking 1 gram of vitamin C is really going to slow down the progression of the cataract.
So just having those foods that might have a lot of antioxidants in, including vitamin C, would be probably a more effective way to slow down the cataract.
I think that would be a healthier choice. Agreed.
Thank you. Now, I have a question here by text message. Is it better to use daily contact lenses and discard them, or to use the ones you can use for 2 weeks and then discard them, or for a month and discard them?
In my opinion, it's up to the user. Somebody that travels a lot, somebody that doesn't have a discipline of taking care of a lens, putting it back in a solution overnight, the dailies are better. They're more expensive. They're easier to use. Just like you said, put them in, throw them away. But it's the same thing.
So no real advantage, it's just what works for you.
Not in my opinion, correct.
Thank you. How often should my 10-year-old son have his eyes checked?
Well, I think you'd have to watch him and see what he isn't doing well. If he's having trouble in school, he's not reading well, as I said before, most schools don't test for hyperopic kids. The child that can't see the book in front of them usually is not tested. The child that can't see at 20 feet gets the attention, goes to the nurse, gets a follow-up. But nobody, and I had it today in my store. A little kid came in, couldn't have been more than 4 years old. The mother said she saw that the daughter, her daughter wasn't doing close-up work. She took him to the ophthalmologist, filled a prescription, and this kid's lucky.
Wow. Well, thank you, Dr. Ng and David, for being on the show with us today. Eyesight is a precious gift. Every time we see someone who's visually impaired, it's a reminder of the gift of sight. But that gift comes with responsibility. Don't take it for granted. Remember, you need to take care of your eyes, eat foods rich in antioxidants, avoid smoking, wear Polaroid sunglasses in the sun, use safety goggles if you're using machinery. If you have an accident involving your eyes, be sure to have them examined urgently. Get regular eye exams and take your doctor's advice. Unfortunately, impaired vision is not always reversible, so please don't take the chance. Tomorrow we're discussing early childhood learning, and I want to thank you for joining us today. You've been watching Go Healthy for Good.